and have a seat as the team exits off the stage. Thank you so much. What a beautiful time of worship. If you need a sermon note, raise your hand. I can't wait to get to this passage. We have some gentlemen that will come around and hand them to you. If you need one, thank you so much, guys. We're going to do our best to get through this. We may run out of time talking about God, but we're going to get right to it. Thank you, team. We're in Acts chapter 2. If you look at your sermon notes, we're going to jump right in. You'll see our sermon series on the screen entitled The Church in Action, God's Mobile Organization in Motion to Change the World for His Glory. We have a God-sized purpose and goal and mission. And so if God has designed His church to be in action, how are we doing with this? How are we doing as the American church, as the global church? How are we doing here at UBC? How are we doing with that? If the standard, Dan talked about the standard of God's word, if the standard is way up here for God's church, where are we? Has the American church drifted? Have we drifted? I often think about Jesus or the early church fathers walking around the American church and visiting. What would be their observation? What would be their conclusion? What would they write about? What would they blog about? What would they text about? What would they Facebook about when they go into churches across America and the globe? Would they say, wow, this is what happened over 2,000 years. Look at all the drift. The church maybe was here, but maybe now it's way over here. And so we want to find ourselves going through the book of Acts and fighting against that drift, as Dan said, to try to get closer and closer to the plumb line, get closer and closer to the standard of the original intention of the church, how it's supposed to function, how we're supposed to do church, what is the church. What would they conclude? What would they say as they go around America and the globe? What would they say as they observe UBC? Sometimes maybe we're too organized. Maybe sometimes we're too scheduled. Maybe sometimes we're too orchestrated and too planned out. As you look at the early church and really study, you don't see too much orchestration or too much schedule. But what you see is they met often and they loved Jesus. And they had these elements that we participated in, the Lord's Supper and the others that we're going to talk through today. Maybe we're too boxed in with how we do church. Eric Geiger in Simple Church says about spiritual drift, you ignore the standard revealed in the Bible, and over time, you'll end up further away from God than you ever thought possible. That's true as a Christian, but it's also true as a church, as you drift away from God's standard. This is the same for the church, again, as well. In Revelation 3, 1 through 3, you see a church that drifted, the church in Sardis. Jesus says, I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. At some point, maybe they were alive, but they drifted to a point where Jesus says, you're not alive, although people think you are, you're really dead. And so he got to the heart there. And so drift comes on the outside, but it also comes on the inside with the heart. One of my friends told me after being away from the church for a while, he said, you know, when I've been away from the church, I've missed the spiritual pep rallies that spurred me on towards the things of God. And when I missed regular attendance in church, I began to relax on my spiritual disciplines. I wasn't in my word as much. I wasn't in prayer as much. I began to drift and I began to fall away. Studying through Acts, we want to remind ourselves how the first disciples and how the first churches did things. In Acts chapter 2, we're going to see a lot of that being birthed. And so we ask ourselves, how can we, if we're off track, how can we get back on track? And then how can we fight against spiritual drift personally, but also as a church? And so today our text provides a picture of real biblical community. It's a beautiful picture of the birth of the organized corporate church in its infancy, right when it first started. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And so not only does this passage list the essential elements of the church, but it communicates the spirit of the church as well, the heartbeat of the church as well. And so just after Peter confesses Christ, Jesus says he's going to build his church. This is in Matthew 16, when this occurred, verse 18, 17 and 18. Jesus replies, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven, verse 18, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build what? I will build whose church? I will build my church. And the gates of Hades will not overcome it. And so in here, in our passage today, was the birth of this church. So Jesus prophesied. He said what's going to happen. And then here we have it happening. And so as we look at this, we want to ask ourselves, if we see the same elements back then, do we see those existing in our congregation 2,000 years later, or have we drifted? So the questions we ask ourselves as we study here is, are we organized in such a way to mobilize the people of God? Do we possess true biblical community? Or are we just kind of hanging out? When we talk about true biblical community, in many churches, and I pray it will never be us, but if you're coming just to hang out, not to be harsh, but there's country clubs for that. And there's secular organizations for that. When we come and gather, we need to be our hearts prepared and on purpose, ready corporately to bring Him glory, to give Him His due praise. It is anything but casual. It is very purposeful. And as we do that, there's the hand of God that works as we meet corporately and together that should send us out to answer His call week after week. But back in this day, it was day after day. We've talked about this before, that we get excited when we're 4 for 4. We went to church every Sunday this month. You know what they got excited about? They were 31 for 31. You know, and so maybe I said, oh man, I missed a couple days this month. So I was 27 for 31. And so I'm just wondering about how we've drifted. I'm just wondering. I'm asking the question. We're excited about 4 times meeting together in a month when the early church met every day. Now, so what are you suggesting, Pastor? That we're going to start meeting every day and we're going to quit our jobs, we're going to quit our lives, and we're just going to gather every day? No. I don't know exactly what that looks like in America, but I know that we need to fight against drift and look for ways for us to be in contact, for us to be in fellowship regularly, not just once a week, not just 4 times a month. And in today's digital age, what can that look like? If we can't get together physically, can we still connect? Again, not just to hang out like in a country club, but to connect together in a way that leads to worship, that leads to inspiration and motivation and challenge as the conversation is centered on God. So this subject matter is something that we constantly ask ourselves and our guests. Did this, at New Members Class, in our partnership class, did this place turn into a place of worship? Did you sense that as a guest coming in? Again, not to be harsh. I feel like I'm a little harsh, but I'm in coach mode. I told you. But if we're not coming to worship with our hearts right, then are we worshiping or are we just making noise? When I was first challenged with that in my own quiet times, in my own worship, as I'm singing powerful words from my mind, but maybe not from my heart, how does God receive it? Does He receive it as worship or does He receive it as noise? If our hearts aren't in it, what are we doing? Gosh, my next comment's even harsher, I think. You know, just the church at large, as Jesus and the early church fathers go in and out of every church, what percentage of churches look more like a funeral than a Christian party that's celebrating our Savior that has risen? And I hope that at UBC, we're going to have times of reminiscing and remembering and reverent respect. And that may look more like a funeral. But included in every time we get with God, we have to celebrate. We should want to celebrate because He didn't stay dead. And when He rose on the third day, it changed everything. And so that every church service should end celebratory, at least. There should be celebration in it because we gather in the name of Jesus, the risen one. Yes. And so spiritual pep rallies, Christian party for Jesus should be occurring on certain levels. And what does that mean when I personally am singing songs and I'm not even engaged? And I look, my posture that may reflect my heart, it may not, it's just turned into a routine, casual, apathetic. So then I go back to myself and say, what am I doing? I go back to the why behind the what. Why do I go to church? Why am I a Christian? What is this all about? Getting back and never forgetting the basics. And a lot of this study in Acts will help us get back to the basics. So in previous weeks, we looked at the context of Acts. We looked at keys for correct positioning in God's move. We looked at and observed the coming of the Holy Spirit to believers. The response of this historical event last week from the onlookers. Peter's then explanation. We went through 41 verses last week. We're not going to do that today. But the response to Peter's sermon, which led to what? What was the result of a Spirit-led, Tim? You said Spirit-led. The result of a Spirit-led movement. 3,000, the Bible says about 3,000 salvations and baptisms right there. Following the baptisms, we get into our passage today. So our title for our message today is Building and Experiencing Real Biblical Community. Building and Experiencing Real, Authentic Biblical Community. So Luke records the following in Acts 2, verse 42. And they, these Christians, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And these could have been very brand new Christians. Thousands of them. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayers. There you have the elements. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number, they didn't add, the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Let's quickly go through the four elements. Let's review this. They devoted themselves. I love that. In verse 42, they devoted themselves. Let's get real here. 2,000 years ago, in that context, in the midst of a culture that was persecuting followers of Jesus, even to death, that these first disciples committed, devoted themselves to the things of God, knowing they may lose their life that day. How would that change our altar calls here? In the American church, and we have the altar call, and many people call it easy believism, that we're just made it so easy that we hardly even talk about sin. Hey, come get saved. Saved from what? Because you didn't tell me. We didn't even talk about sin. And we make it real easy with the air conditioning, the nice pews, and everything perfect, and everything scheduled, and everything's great, and your life's going to be better. It's going to be the best ever. But you never talk about the hardships. You never talk about the sin. You don't present the full gospel. And then we're definitely not in a context right now, at least, that says, by the way, if you commit your life to Jesus today, persecution's coming your way. Hard times are coming your way. Now you put a target on your back and Satan's coming after you. How do you like that? Oh, by the way, you may not be able to see your family again. Who wants to join? Who wants to come forward? Who wants to come to the altar? And I often think, what in the world would be my response back then? Would I just kind of gather and just kind of go through the motions? Or would I be like these early disciples that found life? They were dead, but they found life and the only provider of life in Jesus Christ. And they went and said, take my life today or tomorrow. It doesn't matter to me because I have found eternal life in Jesus Christ. And yes, I'm ready to do whatever God wants me to do. I want to be faithful to His call. If that means being persecuted, then I'll be persecuted. If it means giving up my life, then I'll get my life because I've just found life. And that's the beginning of life in eternity. And so death can't stop me. Persecution won't stop me. Let's go. And so the mindset and the culture of that day is unbelievable. So the first element, the teaching of God's word. Is there biblical teaching going on in churches across the globe in America today? Are we teaching in the right way when we present the Bible? Paul to Timothy says this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of His appearing in His kingdom, I give you this charge. He says, preach the word, Timothy. Be prepared in season and out of season. correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. As you lead through in ministry, all the good times and all the tough times, apply everything I just told you. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. They will fall into the trap that Satan wants us to fall into, and it's called spiritual drift. A commentary said, "It is tragic how few churches who place a great priority on the Word of God today. In many churches, you can learn more about psychology than you can the Word of God. The early church was interested in doctrine," this commentator said. "What the Bible says about God, what the Bible says about Jesus Christ, what the Bible says the power that comes with in the power of the Holy Spirit." The preaching today, this commentator says, is so often man-centered rather than Christ-centered. People seem to be more interested in themselves than they are in Jesus Christ. And so, just to let you know, we're probably not going to get through the notes today. This may be a part two again. It means you got to come back next week. Because I want to land on this, the teaching of God's Word. Enrique, go ahead and come up here, Enrique. Enrique's going to come up. And he's a part of an organization that you guys have heard of, the Gideons. And he is a representative of Gideons. And we've been praying and talking about when to present this organization. And how more perfect of a time that you get, come on, Enrique, than literally when you talk about the first element, the teaching of God's Word, and the distribution of God's Word, and the power in God's Word. And the Gideons have got to be the leaders in the distribution of God's Word. And so we thought that this would be a perfect opportunity. And then when he's done, we may pause and close down and get ready for next week, because we have a lot going on after this that's going to take place as well. Enrique, can you go ahead and share with us what you have prepared, and then I'll follow.
I'll be reading the testimony of Nicholas, who is a member of the armed forces. On my return from Afghanistan with a couple of my buddies, we stopped at a motel for some rest. The following morning, we prepared to get on the road again. While walking to the car, I had a strange feeling pass over me. I felt as though I had forgotten something in the motel room. Not knowing what I was searching for, I looked under the beds, in the bathroom, in the dresser drawers, and as a last resort, in the nightstand drawer between the beds. There I found a Bible with an emblem of some sort on it. Something urged me to pick it up and take it. It felt as though I was stealing it, but I couldn't help it myself. After reading the Bible with its instructions on how to be saved, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Nicholas and his family now live in California. The Gideons International receives inspiring testimonies like Nicholas on a regular basis. For many of you, when you think of Gideons, it's about the Bibles which you regularly see in hotels. However, the Gideons International is so much more. Through your support, we distribute New Testaments at schools and colleges. Every spring, we distribute over 3,000 testaments at UCF. We also provide scriptures for prisons, police, fire, and medical personnel in the military. As Gideons, we are part of the church. All Gideons are members of local churches. The Gideons International is organized in over 200 countries, provinces, and possessions. Because of your prayerful support, last year the Gideons distributed more than 86 million copies of God's Word around the world, in over 100 languages. We are seeing results in places like China, India, where scripture distributions have increased dramatically. We praise God for the open doors across Asia, where one out of every three people live. Our single purpose is to see lost people come to faith in Christ. By God's grace, this goal is accomplished through personal witnessing and distributing copies of God's Word. Copies you help provide. Time and time again, we find that the Word of God transforms lives for eternity. The testimonies they share with us confirm this. During a recent distribution in a public school in Malaysia, Gideons were excited to see a life touched by God's word. A student reluctantly accepted a New Testament from a Gideon and then asked why they were distributing the scriptures. The Gideon shared about the worldwide ministry of the Gideons and encouraged the student to take the New Testament home and read it. The young man did not seem happy with anything the Gideon told him, and with dozens of other students coming forward to receive the hadaparkuma, meaning free gift, he walked away. Minutes later, he walked back up to the Gideon and continued asking why they were distributing scriptures. The Gideon took this opportunity to share more and began to see the boy fully understand. The Gideon then told him they distributed scriptures so people can have eternal life through Jesus Christ. He shared how we are all sinners, but we can receive forgiveness and a new life through accepting Christ. The student prayed with the Gideon that day to accept Christ, receiving an answer to all his questions. We need your help to continue to reach students and to reach hotels and to reach countries around the world, starting with prayer. Pray that we will have a steady flow of funds to purchase Bibles and New Testaments in the coming months. Second, pray that we will have more men and wives join the Gideons and help meet the growing need for distributing God's word. And finally, pray that those who receive God's word will not only open the scriptures, but also open their hearts to Christ. If the Lord has spoken to your heart today about the impact His word is making through this ministry, please consider making a financial gift to the Gideons International. For an investment of $1.25, you can provide for the purchase and placement of a scripture throughout the world. This includes all the costs involved in getting a scripture printed and into the hands of someone who needs it. Where God leads, He provides. Your donation will help to reach the hands of men, women, and children in a country where many people struggle to survive and they cannot afford God's word. The Gideon cards, which I have here with me, is one way you can donate scriptures. They are used in memory of a loved one or to let someone know you are praying for them. You can send a card to a family or friend and send your donation to the Gideons. This is a unique and memorable way to touch thousands of lives with God's word through a simple greeting card. We have a card rack right in the back, the audio box over there. You may be interested in the benefits of registering as a friend of Gideon's. Information can be found at www.gideons.org. The Gideons also have a Bible app that can be downloaded to your smartphone. It has text and audio in many languages. Pastor, thank you for the opportunity to share about the ministry of the Gideons International. We are an extended arm of your church, witnessing to the lost and distributing God's word around the globe and here at home. If you would like to learn more, please see me. I'm usually here Sundays. Thank you. May God bless you.
Thank you, Enrique. And so we're going to come to a point of closing. So we got through one point today. We got a lot more, but we're going to pause. And we're going to sing here and just have a level of commitment and a moment of commitment. Thank you, Enrique. Just, again, I don't want to rush through. We're excited about the coat collection and the stack of coats. We're also very excited about a collection of Bibles and a stack of Bibles. Because we talk about that these coats are going to be a solution to help people stay warm. We're talking about the Bibles as they're collected and distributed out are the solution to life. Eternal life. And so the Gideons leading the way. I want to continue. I know we will look for opportunities for how can we teach God's word? How can we spread God's word? And that's one way as a church that we can do it with a ministry that is solid, reputable, and getting it done. We want to get these, Marsha. We want to. How sad would it be to collect these, but we don't get it to the people that need it? And so it took a couple months, didn't it? I love it. And so the same thing with the Bibles. And how sad would it be that we don't get Bibles across the world to learn about Jesus Christ? Otherwise, how do they know? And so we've talked about this before. This is transferable to everyday life. This is very relevant to your life and mine. Especially during the times of uncertainty that we are in. We were talking in small group this morning. How do we navigate through all of this? What do we show and teach the next generation on how to navigate through all the uncertainties? And I told him this morning, I said, let's think about how to do that, but let's think through it scripturally. When you talk about that God is on his throne, where does it say that in the Bible? When you talk about that God is your peace, where does it say that in the Bible? When it says that God has purpose in this difficult time, where does it say that in the Bible? And then what's the result of those tough times? Why does God allow those things to happen? What's the end result for the believer? How do we know that? What scripture references tells us this? What's the end result for the unbeliever? Well, let's navigate using our Bibles. Why? Because it's relevant. It's powerful. And so we're just going to end with God's Word today. And so we're going to have a time of commitment. And it's been a unique Sunday, a celebratory Sunday, living out the core value that we celebrate diversity as we had our bilingual Lord's Supper. It's awesome. Love it. What I love about the Spanish ministry here and Pastor Roberto is he's having to translate. They're always translating in English. And some in this church were saying they want to start learning Spanish and trying to get into their shoes. I just thought it was an unbelievable testimony, and I just felt so bad because it's always, hey, you come to my way, you do it my way, you do my thing, here's my notes, you translate it. Would I be willing to do the same thing for him and for them? So it's just teaching a lot. All this is in real time as we do life together. And I couldn't be more excited about the result of this. Enrique, the result of God's Word spreading. And so as we sing together, what song are we going to sing? I know I threw you for a loop.
No, you did not. Not at all.
I'm sure it's going to be perfectly relevant and about God's Word.
No. Well, you're talking about all these things that the church is supposed to be.
Yep.
Together.
That's right.
In unity. Following the apostles' teaching, which is the word of God.
That's
and
right.
We're supposed to do all the mark that we're supposed to reach is so high.
That's right.
As a church and as individuals, to Jesus says, be like him. Follow me as I follow Christ, Paul said. And you're preaching all these things, and God just put this on my heart, Pastor. How do we do that? Through the strength of God, not our own. I mean, and I know that's so dumb obvious. But it's something I miss.
That's right.
Something I, like you said, am I coming and singing? Is it Christian karaoke or is it
musical
worship to God?
That's right.
So how do we accomplish these things is what God put on my heart. I'd like us to turn to hymn number 573.
573. And during this time as we sing, I'll be up here singing with you. Don't let my singing scare you away. If you need prayer, man, I wish we could keep preaching. This is why we're here. You need support. You have a need. And it's urgent. Let's pray at the altar. We have leaders that are ready to pray with you, for you. If you'd like to fill out a need on a piece of paper or let us know of your attendance or something where we can begin to get a hold of you to partner to get with you, fill out your life card and let us know. I can tell you this, that in this place, at every worship service, the word of God will be preached.
Amen.
And it's probably going to be preached hard. Every small group at this church will be driven by the word of God. It's our foundation. Dan, let's sing.
If you don't know it, you'll pick it up really. It's a great old chorus. His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect.
Strength.
let's pray together. God, we just pray over everyone here and everyone they represent. And God, we just pray that you've shown up today in a special way, in a way that leaves us running to you. God, thank you for this last song that's a reminder that we cannot do this on our own. We cannot do it in our own strength. We can't do any. It's all about you. It's all about your son, Jesus. God, I pray that whoever we interact with today and this week, wherever we interact with them, God, that they would sense that something is different about us. And God, that we would be equipped and prepared to represent you, to share about you. We're moving more and more and more to a point of desperation in our country. God, I pray that the church and that Christianity will be mobilized and ready to engage, not just to be on the defense, but also on the offense, that we would be relevant in the lighthouse to have major spiritual influence over our country and our world. God, help us to be ready. Help us to be rooted and grounded in your word. Help us to stay away from routine. Help us to stay away from spiritual drift. God, help us to stay spiritually disciplined, to be ready to represent you. What an honor, what a privilege it is. And God, so I thank you for all of us here this morning. And God, I pray that this week that you would be at the center of our conversation. And God, bring us back safely together on Wednesday night and next Sunday, that we could continue in this passage that's so important and so foundational to our church here at UBC and churches across America and the globe. Jesus, we ask all these things in your name. Amen and amen. Amen. Let's have a seat as we close, and we're still way over time. A couple of announcements. As you look in your bulletin,